crime impeding commerce, via breach of contract, is the only crime. USA, 27 CFR 72.11 Code of Federal Regulations defines commercial crimes as any of the following types of crimes: federal or state offenses against the revenue laws, burglary, forgery, counterfeiting, kidnapping, larceny, robbery, illegal sale or possession of deadly weapons, prostitution, including soliciting, procuring, pandering, white slaving, keeping house of ill fame, and like offenses, extortion, swindling and 52 confidence games, and attempting to commit, conspiring to commit, or compounding any of the foregoing crimes. Addiction to narcotic drugs and use of marijuana will be treated as if such were commercial crime. All crime is commercial. Peter McWilliams wrote, "Ain't no crime if you do about victimless crimes. If there is no injured party, no deposable witness, no filed sworn complaint, how is it that the government gets away with charging you with a crime? It cannot even be said that the state has ever shown any disposition to suppress crime, but only to safeguard its own monopoly of crime." Albert J. Nock, Extortion: How to Handle a Bully. 1. Pay him. 2. Obtain third-party intervention. 3. Learn his rules and beat him at his own game. 4. Remove yourself. None of these heals the cause, yet sometimes the cause can't be healed and treating the symptoms will only encourage the bully. What we need to do is remove ourselves from the bully. Corporations and corporate entities. Corporations are for unlawful purposes, primarily to escape punishment for their crimes by placing the blame on a fictional organization responsible to no one. Their sole purpose is to shirk responsibility. One who incorporates or even those who join a corporation are doing it for the purpose of avoiding personal responsibility for their own lives. I realize this sounds harsh, yet take a look at the results for the evidence. When corporations are established with the power to declare themselves bankrupt, that makes them criminal. This is the situation of governments today. Corporations are legal fictions, that is, they do not exist except in the minds of men. A corporation, being a legal fiction, cannot think, it cannot act in any manner, it cannot even communicate with a natural man, and for this reason it must have somebody to speak and act for it, and the lawyers have set themselves up for this task. The enormity of corporate enterprises is limited only by imagination, and they are gold mines for the bar associations, which are corporations themselves. Only 6% of all corporations pay any tax whatsoever, and the rest they get by taking our exemptions, think Enron, or passing their tax liability onto us, e.g., in the form of sales tax/GST. Remember, we are not required to pay any tax whatsoever. Pauquatsi, Pauquatsi life and transformation, a way of life or an entity which consumes the life forces of other entities in order to further its own life, e.g., a corporation. Yet, the most common and insidious corporation by far is the one for which you are personally being held as surety. You have been tricked into this by the government which created this corporation. Since all corporations are government created, we can surmise that the sole purpose of all corporations is to generate revenue for the World Bank. The corporation for which you are being held as surety is the one whose name resembles yours. If you've ever worked for a major corporation, you've heard the constant lament about trying to save money for the corporation. Well, there is no money, and there is no corporation. So whatever they're doing for entities which don't exist, and at the expense of living souls. The real problem is that real living souls truly think that the corporation needs to save money, and of course this is based upon the fear that if it meets its demise, through loss of some kind or another, then so will they. What corporate people need to do is walk away and privately contract out their talents. The wins to this are: no taxes withheld, SS/CP becomes optional, reduced tax, if you choose to file and use business deductions, control over time, 53 etc. The benefits are endless. When the government sends you a bill for taxes due and owing, you can't pay it yet you can discharge it. A friend used to work for Rand Corporation. As soon as he quit, they hired him as a consultant, his income doubled and his taxes were reduced to a third. I always worked for agencies rather than hospitals because I was paid about 25% more by remaining somewhat independent. I'd ask the nurses on the ward why they didn't do the same. I want the benefits. I told them that with what I earned I could easily afford to handle any emergency which might come up, and which probably wouldn't, yet they are working 40 hours a week for peanuts in anticipation of their need for surgery. These were young women. Talk about getting yourself with a good company. They were enslaved. The longer they were there, the longer they would have to stay in order to collect whatever they thought they might get when it was all over. I know people who can consciously say, I can't leave, I'll lose all my benefits. Yikes. They don't see that there is no benefit in staying. I'll say it again, there'll be no pensions when it's time for my generation to collect 10 years from now. Yet, this is good, better, and best news. More, later. A corporation is an artificial, immortal individual. For an organization, e.g., a church, seeking recognition of tax exemption under Section 501, C.3, of the Internal Revenue Code, and who knows what, in CRA, in order to be an organization in the legal sense, it is necessary to incorporate. As soon as it incorporates, it becomes a commercial entity and applies for and obtains an IRS 501, C.3, status ruling, remaining non-political and non-controversial, and it retains its tax-exempt status. Essentially, the state then runs the church. If you think your pastor/rabbi/priest/minister can speak his mind, think again. Yet, churches are automatically exempt from federal income tax. Contributions to churches are deductible by donors, so why would a church apply for government stamp of approval when it was already free? A church that is tax-exempt is not a tax-exempt church but a religious organization which applies for corporate status, thereby going from lawful assembly of private citizens to that of a legal gathering of public subjects. Religion is for people who are frightened of going to hell, spiritualism is for those who have already been there. Gary Busey, God never gives us more that we can handle. I want whoever said that to have a chat with those desperate enough to have committed suicide. The church teaches that thinking of extramarital sex, yet not doing it, is the same as doing it, however, thinking about putting money into the collection plate, yet not doing it, is not the same as doing it. Red Pritchard, 1973 Model Emergency Health Powers Act. Needless to say, this has nothing to do with health, it has to do with government control. Remember who owns your body, unless you have taken steps to secure it. Under this act, 1. You will have a mandatory vaccination or you will be charged with a crime. 2. You will get a mandatory medical exam or you will be charged with a crime. 3. Doctors will give the exam or you will be charged with a crime. 4. Your property can be seized if there is reasonable cause to believe that it may pose a public health hazard, it can be burned or destroyed and you will not have recourse or compensation. This sort of thing is flying around the internet, and although I have no doubt that it is accurate, whoever wrote it sees this as attack as opposed to desperation on the part of those charged with collecting the interest on the loan. The only reason things are getting more and more threatening for us and our alleged possessions is because the powers that be are under the gun to collect, or else. Remember, the government and all its branches are solely revenue collecting agencies. If you have private, legal title to your property, there is no way it can be confiscated. Your property includes your body. When they issue warrants for bodies to come in and get vaccinated, remember they are referring to the bodies to which they have legal title and to which you have only equitable title. If you already have legal title to your body, you can provide the papers proving this. I am grateful that I knew, a decade in advance of my birthing my boys, that vaccines are killers, and so neither of my boys is vaccinated or circumcised, and, of all the diseases deemed normal childhood diseases, they caught only chickenpox. 54. National debt. The interest on fraudulent bonds also has to be created by more borrowing. The money supply has to be constantly expanded because the interest has to be paid. Interest on the bonds, national debt, is paid before any other government expense. If not, the entire system will collapse. The debt can't be reduced because when funds are paid to reduce the debt, buy back the bonds and retire them, the money disappears from circulation since it returns to from whence it came nowhere. When there is no money, there is depression, the standard of living drops, which is why there is no middle class any longer. This is why the debt must be discharged as opposed to being paid, because it cannot be paid. You might be interested in Jim Traficant's speech on the bankruptcy of the United States. Look it up, he tells the entire story, which is why he is in jail, but the feds won't admit to that. A country corporation which has dangled the sword of nuclear holocaust over the world for half a century and claims that someone else invented terrorism is a country corporation out of touch with reality. John K. Stoner. I swore I wouldn't mention George Bush in this book. He claims that his country corporation, the one which has been at war for every year of the past 54, is the most peace-loving country on earth. Remedy, there must be a remedy. Since we are operating in commerce, the remedy must be found in the Uniform Commercial Code. Remember, one signing the application for a license is voluntary. You have the right to do these normal activities without such applications, too. The applications are for benefits, privileges, and opportunities, which justify denial of your Creator-given rights with which you were born, but which were transferred upon birth registration. 3. We cannot acquire true or allodial title to any property purchased with such applications. We must buy property in order to obtain legal title. This can be done only by exchanging your exemption for title. You cannot own property by paying for it. 4. We cannot pay our debts at law, we can only discharge our debts in equity. Advantages of filing a UCC/PPSA. Filing a PPSA/UCC 1 is rather like the husband putting an ad in the local newspaper, usually the case and not the other way around, stating he is no longer responsible for his wife's debts. This reminds me of the husband who didn't report his wife's credit card as stolen because the thief was spending less than she had been spending. So, the filing is stating something similar. When completing a UCC/PPSA financing statement, FS, keep in mind that the secured party, SP, must be a fiction/strawman because only fictions can function in commerce. So the SP claims the strawman debtor, SD. Then the SD signs over to the SP, for which you, the living soul, are the agent, everything it owns via a private contract called a security agreement, SA. Do not file the SA, only reference its number under general collateral on the FS. The SA gives you, the agent for the SP, a superior claim over the SD, thereby removing you as surety for the strawman. The only way you can rebut their presumption that you are surety is to notice them with the FS, yet you cannot operate in commerce, so the strawman operates for you and files the FS. So, it is the SP which files the claim against the SD. Now, any charge against the SD can be discharged by you, the third party of interest, who now has a superior claim over all rights, titles, and interests of the strawman. The problem the registries have in filing these claims is that the SD and SP appear to be the same entity since both are in uppercase. So, be creative, come up with different spellings, or women can use a maiden name claiming the married name, or list minor children first in order to distract them from noticing that the SP is also listed amongst the debtors. If they reject the filing, do as I did, I woke up and remembered who I am. Since they are my servants, I realized that all I had to do is notice them that the document is registered with Canada Post. I am first in line, first in time. My records show they received it rather the same as my car. It is not registered, it is recorded. We are to notice, not request, our public servants to do our bidding. 55. The financing statement is the one contract in the world which cannot be broken. Since we have unlimited credit with the Fed, we can access it through an account. Remember, there is no money, so it is not as if you can mosey over to the FRB/BC and get cash. This is for the discharge of public debt only. We are intending to remove ourselves from needing cash, so you don't want to add to the problem by accumulating more. We now control the funds so that the feds will move figures, entries, and digits for our benefit, no longer for their benefit. By properly filing a FS, we can become the holder in due course of the strawman. When we are charged, we can simply discharge the charge with our tax exemption. This is commerce, not law. None of the charade. we simply accept the charge for value and return it for discharge, settlement, and closure. Since the claim is prepaid and our account at the Fed is exempt from levy, the alleged debt goes away sort of at least until we have something with which to pay it. Since any control, which any alleged authority has over you, comes from your giving it, I suggest you never inadvertently grant jurisdiction to any court or any public entity. Remember who you are. A judge once asked me if I understood the charge, traffic. I told him we couldn't proceed until he proved he had jurisdiction over me. I knew he had jurisdiction over the strawman as I had yet to file my UCC-1. He just sat there stunned. Silence. Once we file a financing statement, we can discharge any public claim presented to us. If we honor the claim by accepting it, we can discharge it. If we dishonor the claim, by resisting, fighting, ignoring, arguing, we create a controversy which must be taken into court for resolution. Accepting doesn't mean acquiescing, it means we now control the offer. E.g., if you have paid the bank $10,000 on a vehicle you think you own and you get behind in the payments, the bank can take the car away from you because you don't own it. If you show on a financing statement that you have invested $10,000 into the vehicle and then got behind in payments, the bank would have to pay you the $10,000 before they take it. The UCC in Article 3, 505 lists the rights of a party presented with a demand for payment, no matter who the alleged claimant, e.g., IRS/CRA, or what the claim, e.g., property tax/income tax. No one can ever show a liability on your part, only a demand for dollar. This is how I have so much fun with the alleged creditors. They continue to send me statements, I continue to demand an invoice, signed under their full, commercial liability, and I'll be happy to settle the accounting, but they never do. To do so would be committing fraud. How can I pay a bill if they won't send me one? The powers that be, the global elite, the top 1% of the world has the same combined income as the bottom 57%, and the disparity is growing. At the top of the decision-making pyramid we have the ruling elite. They utilize psychopolitics deliberately to influence all 9 steps in the decision-making process. They control every step by 1. Creating events and predetermining their outcome, 2. Manufacturing event details and controlling the information dissemination infrastructure, 3. Biasing the alarm faculties of common people by the selected dissemination of controlled information, 4. Molding knowledge and belief systems through education, 5. Intentionally providing the children of common people with inferior education through public instruction while ruling elite children attend premier schools and colleges, 6. Controlling the emotions of common people through social rhetoric and religious dogma, 7. Enacting rules and regulations that influence common people's decisions based upon expected rewards and feared punishments, 8. Intimidating the decisions of ordinary people by enforcing codes, rules, and regulations with coercion, the threat of force, torture, fines, or imprisonment, and 9. Erecting surveillance networks which have the ability to monitor the behaviors and actions of groups and individuals. Investments, we will see neither our retirement investments nor our pensions. Do not get plugged in, this is good news. It means the economic structure under which we have been living is about to collapse, and about bloody time. Yes, there will be some casualties, but for the most part, it will wake us up to know that there is no security outside ourselves. A few years ago I took the advice of a friend who was encouraging me to get into the commodities 56 market and buy March coffee. At every turn I was stymied. I could not get anything to go the way I wanted. With each passing week, the window of opportunity narrowed and my final exasperation came when the fax machine wouldn't fax the order. I finally said, "Someone doesn't want me to buy this trade." I emailed my broker complaining that everything was holding me up, Christmas holidays, bankers, wrong telephone numbers, faxes, inability to get hold of my friend to ask for the stop date, etc. He wrote back and said, "Patience, my dear. If you had bought when you intended, you'd be down $2,500. I knew this wasn't possible since the worst I could have done was a loss of $1,400, Nevertheless, I went to the trade website and saw that had I bought March coffee, I'd have been out of the market for a nickel and lost my investment. I laughed so hard I couldn't stand up. Unfortunately, my friend, who had bought while I was horsing around not knowing what I was doing, lost a chunk of funds. This was my final lesson in there are no investments. Well, there are investments, but there are no returns of substance. The investment game is one which is run by the elite to get our funds. We can't possibly win. It's like going to Las Vegas. If you're going for any reason other than entertainment, you're putting your faith into something that doesn't exist. I'm willing to concede that many have made the proverbial killing in the market, yet they fail to see that what they have gained is a liability. Even more important is they haven't yet met the living soul who lost in order for them to win. I finally learned that I don't have to become financially secure. I must forgive myself for thinking that I ought to become so, particularly because it is an impossibility. 60% of the stock market is the investments of the CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, accounts of cities. This is where your funds from traffic tickets, property taxes, etc. go to fund the gambling of the city officials. They are investing with our funds and winning, then they hide it in a CAFR account and then cry that they don't have enough dollar to pay for emergency services, firemen, paramedics, etc. The reason we have the corporate scams, like Enron, these days is because of bad bookkeeping. This is their only crime. There are no funds to steal. What they have stolen is the exemption of their former employees. Even after you leave the job, the corporation continues to use your exemption because they have your SSN/SIN. The real question is, why haven't the employees themselves been using their exemptions and not leave them lying around for the crooked corporations to steal? Bush's ostensible upset about cracking down on corporate greed, what a skit, is not to punish them but to remind them to clean up their act before the sheeple catch on that they're cooking the books. Since there is no money, it is only credit/assets which they're stealing by juggling the liability side of the accounts, which they can do because the people have turned over their exemptions to them. The cat is out of the bag. These corporations are in for a big surprise. A woman I know is quite panicky about her future and states, "Well, at least I have my company pension when I'm 65. I laugh almost as hard as when I'm told I ought to be saving for my children's college education. That's 3 years from now and the economy will be so vastly changed by then it will be unrecognizable. Not to mention that I don't want my children programmed any more than they already are via higher education. So, where does my friend think she's going to find this corporation which will have already absconded with her alleged pension? It is a fiction, it doesn't exist, nor does its alleged assets. Four, people have said to me, my pension is locked in dot. Chortle. Civil liberties today. America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order, referring to the 1991 LA riot. Tomorrow they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there were an outside threat from beyond, i.e., an extraterrestrial invasion, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. Dr. Henry Kissinger, Bilderberger Conference, Evian's, France, 1991. Bush is in place for only one purpose, to get the American people to give up the last of their few remaining rights. 57 Government. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. Thomas Jefferson. Every effort has been made by the Federal Reserve Board to conceal its powers, but the truth is, the Fed, Federal Reserve System, has usurped the government. It controls everything here, Congress, and it controls all our foreign relations. It makes and breaks governments at will. Lewis McFadden, ex-chairman of the House Committee on Banking and Currency. The course of history shows as a government grows, liberty decreases. Thomas Jefferson. In politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, it was planned that way. FDR government big enough to supply everything you need is big enough to take away everything you have. Thomas Jefferson government is at best a petulant servant and at worst a tyrannical master. George Washington. Unfortunately, many people think the American government are the terrorists. There is no American government and hasn't been in scores of years. To what they refer is USG, the belligerent, foreign corporation masquerading as the American government. It has named itself the government of the United States of America for the sole purpose of conning the American people into believing that it represents them and that it is its government. The USG, a private, fictitious, for-profit corporation, has no more to do with the American people or the American territory than does Sears, another private, fictitious, for-profit corporation. Americans, which includes those of us in Canada, have long been subjected to the terrorism of the corporations USG and Government of Canada. No one alive today has experienced a representative government, which brings us to another point: why would anyone vote in a foreign election for a foreign corporation? There is no one for whom to vote who could possibly represent us. Our country has been under siege for so long, I wonder if we will ever get it back. Government Canada. The Constitution and Charter of Rights and Freedoms does not apply to Canadians. Remember the four elements of a valid legal contract: 1. Full disclosure, 2. Equal consideration, 3. Lawful terms and conditions, 4. Signatures of all parties. Is your signature on it? No, you are not a party to it. Since Canada is a corporation, the charter is precisely that, a charter for a LLC, limited liability corporation, not a contract involving you, because corporations can't contract, only living souls can contract. The Constitution is a body of law, written by the state, in order to control the government. The CAG is controlled by a belligerent, foreign, fictional corporation called the Anglican Church, and known as the British Crown. Their constitution does not apply to the people of the landmass known as Canada. It applies, just as every other code, rule, regulation, ordinance, and statute applies, only to the Crown's employees, namely the federal and provincial governments and all their employees, and to anyone who chooses to volunteer. See Application of Charter in Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms 32. 1. This charter applies: a. to the Parliament and Government of Canada in respect of all matters within the authority of Parliament, including all matters relating to the Yukon Territory and Northwest Territories, and b. to the Legislature and Government of each province in respect of all matters within the authority of the Legislature of each province. As none of us signed this contract, it doesn't apply to us. Our charter rights are violated with impunity by the privately owned Anglican Church legal system franchise known as the Bar Association via the Vatican and British Crown. There is a difference between the CAG and the USG. The feds in Canada not only call themselves civil servants but also believe maybe they truly are the servants of the people, and hence it is easier for them to 58 understand that the Canadian people truly are sovereign maybe. Even though Americans are more inherently sovereign than Canadians, the feds in the U.S. are nowhere near as likely to admit it. Government America. There were only four purposes of government: 1. To provide a military to protect the American republics, 2. To monitor commerce/trade among the republics, 3. To maintain the overall welfare for all, not just certain groups or individuals, 4. To govern international commerce of the Union. The Bill of Rights dictates the limitations of government. The people of the United States of America never had constitutional rights; they had a government with limitations in order to preserve their natural rights. Alas, no more. Socialism: government controls publicly owned utilities, railroads, post, communications, etc. Fascism: the people own but the government controls everything. Communism: government owns and controls all productivity. Since the name on the deed for your house is a government-created name, the government owns your house. You'll notice that this setup falls into the last definition, communism. The sole objective of the global elite is to create an economic slave force, an economic system owned by the workers and controlled by the state, economic growth and planning controlled by a central authority, corporations and their stocks regulated by the government, private FRB controlling interest rates and income tax, and political control by an authoritative party FDR. They must distract the people with inane subjects, like sports, politics, thinking there is any difference among party leaders, via TV, so that they don't notice what's really going on. The first plank of the Communist Manifesto is abolition of private property. The agenda of the global elite is to steal land, control families, education, religion, implement a central private bank, promote immoral behavior, and eliminate countries and nationalities. Done. The real rulers in Washington are invisible and exercise power from behind the scenes. Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter, 1952. I am concerned for the security of our great nation, not so much because of any threat from without, but because of the insidious forces working from within. General Douglas MacArthur, Communism, the 10 Planks of the Communist Manifesto. 1. Abolition of private property. 2. Heavy progressive income tax. 3. Abolition of all rights to inheritance. 4. Confiscation of property of all emigrants and rebels. 5. A central bank. 6. Government control of communications and transportation. 7. Government ownership of factories and agriculture. 8. Government control of labor. 9. Corporate farms, regional planning. 10. Free education for all children in government-controlled schools. We have been communized in that production in relation to consumption must be ruthlessly regulated, or the fraud upon the public, perpetuated by bank credit, will be revealed. Americans Bulletin 59. The state holds securities on your body, land, business, marriage, children, auto, etc. Communism, because state holds the title, state makes the laws, and the communist state keeps track of your benefits and duties through a system of accounting, not through service and love. Of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, all 10 have been implemented. Women have been tricked into thinking they have the right to work, number 8, when in fact it has become a bloody necessity because of, number 2, the heavy progressive income tax. Democracy is indispensable to socialism. V.I. Lenin. Socialism leads to communism. Karl Marx. Thus, the lower class is taking down, strictly feeds off, the middle class slaves. The upper class benefits from its corporate profit from the same slave force. Corporations, creatures of the state, have replaced companies, private with no government control, and human resources departments have replaced personnel departments in the workplace. The federal government has its hands in nearly 50% of the gross national product, GNP. 25 years ago it was 10%. Under the guise of a free market capitalist system, communism has arrived. It is a perfect absurdity to suppose that government would ever take our money, without our consent, under the guise of protecting us. It cannot reasonably be supposed that anyone will voluntarily pay money to the terrorocrats who masquerade as the government, for the purpose of securing his protection, unless he first makes an explicit and purely voluntary contract with them for that purpose. Lysander Spooner. When the USG/CAG cries foul about anything it chooses, under the guise of national security, it is never for the sake of the nation, or the people of the nation, or the territory of the nation, it is for the sake of the security of the corporation, their own private club. Its members think only of protecting its own interests, not those of the landmass or its people. Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants, it is the creed of slaves. W. M. Pitt, 1783. Everything the state says is a lie. Nietzsche. Every government is run by liars and nothing they say should be believed. I. F. Stone. I am reminded of a story of an evil man who was holding captive a little girl. He told her that he had put into a cloth bag a black stone and a white stone from the path. If she chose a white stone from the bag she could go free, however, if she chose a black stone she would remain with him. She put her hand into the bag, pulled out a stone, and promptly dropped it onto the path. It was lost among the other stones. She appeared regretful and then put her hand into the bag and pulled out a black stone. She said, "Since the black stone remains in the bag, the stone I chose must have been the white." Of course, he had put two black stones into the bag and yet, Due to her cleverness, he was forced to free her. We must develop this cleverness if we are deal with tyrants. Freedom. The average man does not want to be free. He simply wants to be safe. H.L. Mencken. What we do to make ourselves safe eventually creates the situation for our demise. R. Moss. One who trades freedom for security deserves neither. Ben Franklin. The nature of psychological compulsion is such that those who act under constraint remain under the impression that they are acting on their own initiative. The victim of mind manipulation does not know that he is a victim. To him the walls of his prison are invisible, and he believes himself to be free. That he is not free is apparent only to other people. His servitude is strictly objective. Aldous Huxley. Brave New World Revisited, 1958. The problem with knowledge is that there is no going back, like taking the red pill in the Matrix. Do I want to exchange my freedom for an easier life as a good slave? Our freedom will ultimately depend upon whether we contract away our rights or remain aware of the nature of benefits implying the existence of a 60 contract, and by our failing to object to the presumption of a contract. Freedom is not the easiest road, yet we may be more satisfied with ourselves for having taken it. Our ability to choose is what constitutes our freedom. If we were ever to live in harmony, politicians and bureaucrats would have to confine their lives to minding their own business and deriving what benefit they could from those who chose to cooperate with them. Life belongs to the living, not to the state or any other non-existent abstraction. B. Schaeffer. There is no one so hopelessly enslaved as he who falsely believes he is free. Goethe. If a nation values anything more than freedom, it will lose its freedom, and the irony of it is that if it is comfort or money that it values more, it will lose that too. W. S. Mom. It is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Voltaire. The marvel of all history is the patience with which men and women submit to burdens unnecessarily laid upon them by their governments. William H. Borah. We must actively challenge the publicly accepted scope of government authority. Unknown. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government. Thomas Jefferson. The ultimate authority resides in the people alone. James Madison, Federalist Paper No. 46. I never would have agreed to the formulation of the Central Intelligence Agency back in 1947. If I had known it would become the American Gestapo. Harry S. Truman, 1961, we must make our choice between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude. If we can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of caring for them, they will be happy. Thomas Jefferson. The standard of living of the average American has to decline. I don't think you can escape that. Paul Volcker, former Federal Reserve Chairman. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people, to whom it properly belongs. Thomas Jefferson. A few who can understand the system, check money and credits, will either be so interested in its profits, or so dependent on its favors, that there will be no opposition from that class, while on the other hand, the great body of the people mentally incapable of comprehending the tremendous advantage that capital derives from the system, will bear its burdens without complaint, and perhaps without even suspecting that the system is inimical to their interests. Rothschild Brothers of London. What? Me work? One of the symptoms of an approaching nervous breakdown is the belief that one's work is terribly important. Bertrand Russell. Commerce is a game only the banksters can win. They have programmed us to believe that the more money we have, the better life can be, so now men work two jobs and every woman under 50 thinks she ought to be working. I never intended to work, I never fell for the women want a career nonsense. I've never met a woman who isn't angry, and I contend this is why. Many women went into the workforce believing they could change the world, that the world would be a more pleasant place to be if there were less testosterone in the powerful positions. Unfortunately, the women who rose to those positions became men. 61. They donned the three-piece suits and in fact made the problem worse. The only thing worse than men running the world is women who think they are men running the world. What women want is a safer and happier world for their children to grow up, yet the result was they were conned into spending their days away from their children. On the last day I worked as an RN, I got into my car and heard, "You will no longer slave labor for the genocidal pharmaceutical industry and medical mafia." I had long felt unethical about poisoning the old folks, so this was perfect. It crossed my mind that I still had 2 work days scheduled, so I intended to keep my commitment. However, as it turned out, through nothing I did or did not, that day was indeed my last. I had allowed my RN license to lapse. I refused to submit any longer to extortion, obtaining money by compulsion or threat, Oxford English Dictionary, or to a license permission to do that which is otherwise prohibited. OED, AARN is a corporation which will not permit me to work as an RN unless I pay it a fee. That's extortion. RNs are required to pay yearly fees, which in 2001 in Alberta cost me approximately 6 days of labor, a total of $900 CDN/$600 USD, a full year's fee for the 7 months I worked prior to the next year's fee, both of which came within the same calendar year, along with union dues of $400. The union, by the way, refused to assist me in getting wage compensation of $6 per hour for my 25 years experience. I was working for only 75% of my entitled wage. Taking care of the infirm is now illegal without a permit. What compassionate entity conjured up this plan? This is corporate/bankster thinking at its best. I never went back and I never looked back, and they wonder why there is a shortage of nurses. Minimum wage is a huge joke and no one could live on it. These jobs are for kids in school who still live at home and who want some cash for the weekend. It is not designed for those who are intending to earn their living, and yet many are grateful that they have these worthless jobs, because most of what used to be good jobs have been exported out of America, outsourced. Never have more people been out of work, not even during the Great Depression. After many years of my being concerned about dollar, I finally had to face the truth, which is that I've never had to worry about money. I've always had cash. Always. I quit trying to figure it out. I don't really know how this can be, since, over the same 35-year period that my colleagues have worked and saved for their retirements, I estimate I've actually worked only 1/4 of that time. I have never worked full-time, except for 2 brief periods in my 20s, both of which were less than a year. There have been entire years during which I haven't worked, and this is not including when my boys were young and I was being financially supported by their father. I wonder how I've managed to survive. I'm not suggesting I did it all on my own. I am suggesting that I've never had to worry about dollar, and it is not due to my having worked hard all my life. While it is true that no woman works harder for her money than when she marries it, this was very short-lived. I attribute much of it to learning the credit card scam, probably worth $90,000 to me. Cash has just always had a major presence in my life, not so much that I can take year-long trips around the world or live in the lap of luxury, and I've never owned my own house, but then, neither have you. You've just worked to pay for one. From a psychological perspective, I say I am better off, at least I know it and I am not deluding myself. No one can take anything from me, I have nothing to take, and that which I do have I know how to protect. You've heard stories of wives who go off to work and, after commute/clothing/childcare expenses along with what the government confiscates in income tax, the family is actually farther behind in net income. What were they thinking? I have enough trouble with the concept of anyone working, but particularly women. Their job in life is huge enough, that of dragging their men from the world into the spiritual realm. I haven't even touched upon the time and energy consumption of minding children and creating a home. My divorced friend had to pay tax on her husband's child support payments, which he got to write off as an expense, but she, who desperately needed the extra funds, got to hand over the bulk of it in tax. Something's wrong, yet this is no surprise to anyone. So why are women working? I am reminded of the woman who left a note on the refrigerator for her husband. "Supper's in the oven, I've gone to law school, I'll be back in 4 years." When the simple truth about banking is revealed, will see that the economic effect of their stealing and counterfeiting has meant that wives must work for the family to survive. If the banking problem is corrected, wives will have the option to stop working while keeping the same standard of living or working and doubling the family's wealth. If enough of us learn about the fraudulent banking system, our loans could be forgiven or discharged, the government's budget balanced, and the personal IRS/CRA tax cut to zero with no other taxes. If the banks paid their debt, we could all be out of debt. 62. Unlimited credit. The amount of credit the feds earned from investing in securities, the credit borrowed from us via the registration of our births, has prepaid anything you might ever want or need. We are the creditors, and the federal mafia is the debtor. They owe us interest for using our credit, yet, since they, the public, are bankrupt, there is no substance money, so we, as creditors, will have to get paid by taking equity, in the form of our houses and cars, as the set off the balancing of the account. They owe us interest on our credit, which they are using to pay for the manufacturing of all the goods and services we are buying. We have already paid for the product before we buy it. We are still the principals of the securities because said investment was never disclosed to us. The feds are hoping we won't request the profits of our investments, however, if and when we do, it is substantial enough that we would never have to work again. We could never spend it all. We do not need, nor were we ever meant, to work for a living. The government floated a bond against our future earnings by using our birth registrations as the collateral for our promise to pay. Income tax is just their having educated you to pay the interest on the loan you lent them. When we access our direct treasury accounts, those held at the BC/FRB under our SINs/SSNs, we will no longer have to work. Meanwhile, we will continue to 1. Slave labor for entities which do not exist except for the purpose of profit, 2. Do something other than what we were designed to do, and 3. Believe that we, extensions of our Creator, are worthless enough to have to pay for our existence. Our life's labor and everything we've created have become the legal, commercial collateral of the bankrupt USA/CA Inc. The feds give us back from our labor just enough to keep us convinced that we are actually earning enough of a living to buy what we want, when what is true is that most of us cannot afford what we think we want, and even if we truly did want what we think we want, it is already prepaid. So, not only are we not supposed to be working for anyone, banksters, or anything, corporations, other than for each other and for our own enjoyment, but also we already have enough credit to buy anything we want or need, we have just been, so far, prevented from accessing it. Since that is what all currency is today, our credit, it ought to be easy to realize that we can use our own credit from our exemption, not credit which only creates more debt. Think what would happen to the banksters if we all suddenly had everything we wanted. They would lose their control over us. We wouldn't need to work, nor worry about paying the bills, nor believe that there was any authority outside ourselves. We are an extension of, not separate from, our Creator. It is our concern and worries over money which allow them control over us. How could the powers that be, those who are running the world in what seems to be about as disastrous a manner as can be, continue to do what they want to do, e.g., war? There would be no more slave labor. We would all be working at something that is way more fun. It is said that if we all worked at doing what we wanted, all necessary jobs would get done. The remainder, the manufacture of WMD, for example, would either cease to get done or the powers that be would have to do it themselves. What a concept! What an interesting place to live this world might become. If you want to make someone angry, tell him a lie. If you want to make him furious, tell him the truth. So, at the risk of infuriating you, isn't it strange to think that all these years you have been working for what you wanted, and unbeknownst to you, everything you ever purchased from every corporation was already paid for? All you had to do was go and claim it, sign for it, and take it home, and this includes your home. It too was prepaid. You never had to work a day in your life to pay for anything. All these years you could have been playing and doing what you love to do. We were conned into getting a good education so we could get a good job, all based upon the presumption that this is what we wanted. Would you work as hard as you do if you knew that nothing, which you think you own, belongs to you? If you really want to hate what you love to do, do it for money, it won't take long. Nicholas Gratchin in 63 Part 3 What Really Happened / What to Do Know Thyself Remember Who You Are.